Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nagum and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now to Pastor Chris.
Matthew 22 today, and Jonathan Ferguson has survived a close encounter with three rhinoceroses to be with us again from Nairobi, Kenya. It's a true story, but we'll save that for later. Jonathan, why don't you take us into the chapter?
Matthew 22 begins with the parable that really belongs at the end of chapter 21. This parable tells the story of a great king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. He invites the guests, but they ignore the call to come. When servants are sent out, the invited guests mistreat them, even killing the king's servants, in the same way that the tenant farmers did in the last parable. Now the king was enraged, and he wipes out the murderers and destroys their city. But the king will still have his feast. Instead of the honored guests, the king asks for the hall to be filled, and his servants go out and invite anyone and everyone to come to the feast. And the hall is filled. But there's still one problem. In verse 11, one of the guests has refused to put on the proper attire. In ancient hospitality, it was common for kings to give clothing to invited guests so that they would have the proper attire. This man refused to put on the offered attire and was thrown out.
Now, the parable is about God's invitation to heaven. About the invitation to his son's wedding, really. I can't wait. I love weddings. But for this one, a lot of the personal invitees won't show. So the king invites everyone. But that last part of the story is a little curious. Why was the guy thrown out? Just because he didn't dress right? Was it an issue of wearing boots to a black tie affair? In the Bible, clothing often represents righteousness, which is your right standing before God. Dressing right is symbolic of being right. Right with God, right?
Right.
Righteously right. So what's going on in the story? Well, God invites everyone and offers everyone the righteous clothing. Jesus paid for tuxes and gowns for everybody. But this man doesn't want the tux. Oh, he wants in on the party, but on his own terms, his way. He wants self-righteousness. That means you do it. You work, you earn, you stay clean. But in Isaiah, God says that our works and all of our attempts to be good are like filthy rags. Later in Zechariah, there's a picture of the high priest dressed in disgusting garments. Self-righteous is stanky, but God gave him something to wear that was impeccable. God's forgiveness, God's righteousness is stunning.
And back in the parable, the man was thrown out of the feast because he refused to wear God's righteousness. He insisted on his own self-righteousness. He was saying, I'm good enough. I don't need your offer, God. But reject God's forgiveness, and you reject his kingdom with it.
Now, as the chapter rolls on, several of those groups that had rejected the kingdom try to trap Jesus with questions. It's a bit of a boxing match with words here. The traps are set, but watch how Jesus answers.
Now, the first group in the ring is a tag team, the Pharisees and the Herodians together. These two were polar opposites and enemies. The Pharisees were very conservative and very Jewish. The Herodians were more secular and pro-Roman. But they did have a common ground. They both saw Jesus as a threat. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?
Now Jesus knows this is a trap. If he says don't pay the tax, then the Herodians are right there to arrest him for insurrection. But if he says pay the tax, then the Pharisees will tell all the Jews that Jesus is pro-Rome. Verse 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites! Why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Aha! I love good answers. Caesar put his face on the coin, so give it back to him. A lot can be learned here about balancing your devotion to heaven with your duty on earth. We have civic responsibility, and we should honor it. But he doesn't stop there. Give to God what is God's. And where is God's image imprinted? Think about that one. and consider how you can give to God what is his. Round one, to Jesus.
So they take off and the next contender shows up, the Sadducees. These men came from the rich upper classes of Judaism. They rejected the oral traditions that the Pharisees followed, sticking with the books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. They too had a question. Verse 23. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with the question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Now in the law there was a passage that required that if a man died childless, that his brother take his wife and raise a family for his deceased brother, in order to continue his name in Israel. However, the stories the Sadducees came up with was a complete fabrication. They were just trying to mess with Jesus. These guys didn't believe in the resurrection, but they're asking Jesus about how things are going to work out in the resurrection.
The Sadducees are dancing around the ring here, but Jesus pulls no punches. Verse 29, Jesus replied, "You are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Whew, that's a direct jab to the truth. Now he's talking to theologians here. You don't know the Bible, and you don't know God's power. Gotta admit, there's some theologians I'd like to say that to. So Jesus goes right to the word, verse 31. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now that quote was God speaking to Moses. Abraham had died 400 years earlier, and yet God said, I am the God of Abraham. If Abraham was dead and gone, he would have said, I was the God of Abraham.
And another one bites the dust. But the Pharisees tag back into the ring with a question about the law. Verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Jesus sums up the law with two commands, love God, love man. And I love how Jesus says all the rest hang on these two. If you forget love, all the rest falls to the floor. Love God, love man.
Now Mark records that the Pharisee who came to question Jesus actually agreed with him. In Mark 12, he says, well said, teacher, and then goes on to say that love is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. The plan of the Pharisees seems to backfire as the man questioning Jesus agrees with him. There were a number of Pharisees who did believe in Jesus, but did so quietly. Here we see that the man sent to question Jesus may have become one of those secret disciples.
And round three goes to Jesus.
Matthew 22, the challengers to the king on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder for Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is a church planter, and I will be Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.